Good on Mother's Day to look at the subject of certain women who ministered to the Lord. The Gospel of Luke gives us more stories about women than any of the other three Gospels. And Luke especially notices the love and devotion of certain women for Jesus. And these women played an important role in Jesus' earthly ministry. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And Luke chapter 8 begins with the phrase, "And it came to pass afterward," which means soon afterwards. And this phrase draws us back to the incident of the previous chapter in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. The incident of an unknown and unnamed woman described as a sinner or an immoral woman. With a heart broken by sin, the woman approached Jesus, her tears beginning to fall on his feet, and she wiped the tears away with her hair. Then she poured the precious ointment she brought and poured it over the feet of our Lord and anointed him. Now the ointment that the woman used on Jesus was expensive, and it cost her much. And to anoint Jesus' feet in this manner shows her deep affection and gratitude to the Lord. And Jesus said of this woman, Jesus said, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Because she had been much forgiven, she loved the Lord much. Now, this unnamed woman was not the only woman who loved Jesus much. As we come to Luke chapter 8, we see Jesus once again traveling from one city and village in Galilee to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. On this occasion, Jesus was accompanied by more than his 12 disciples. Besides the 12, Luke reveals to us a certain number of women also traveled with Jesus and his disciples. And Luke gives us a glimpse into the vital role these women play in Jesus' ministry. And so this morning, I'd like to share with you the devotion of these women who have been saved by the Lord and how their devotion to the Lord was displayed through their lives. And we see in three ways how they followed Jesus, how they ministered to the Lord, and how they honored the Lord. Now first, the women showed their devotion by following Jesus. The gospel always makes a noticeable difference in the life of the person who has truly responded to it. The disciples of Jesus left their nets and followed him. Matthew left his lucrative tax collection business and followed Jesus. Now, these women mentioned in Luke chapter 8 followed Jesus. Who were these women who walked alongside the Lord during his earthly ministry? Three are specifically named for us. First, there is Mary Magdalene, who had once been possessed by seven demons. A person possessed and controlled by evil spirits carried a lot of shame and was ostracized in society. And the word seven is often used to denote completion and may signify that Mary Magdalene was completely demon-possessed. She was in great bondage and torment. The Bible does not give us the story of Mary Magdalene's deliverance by Jesus, but at some point, she encountered the Lord, and the Lord delivered her from her torment and affliction. Mary Magdalene found salvation and release from her torturous past, and she had been healed by the Lord, and she committed her life to Jesus and followed him. And she joined a small band of women who followed Jesus to the very end, witnessing his agony and also his crucifixion on the cross. The gospel writer Matthew tells us that many women were there beholding afar off, and they followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, and among them was Mary Magdalene. While the disciples of Jesus forsook the Lord, Mary Magdalene, together with many women, followed the Lord. When others ran away, they stayed. In fact, Mary Magdalene followed Joseph of Arimathea, who carried Jesus' body to the tomb. And again, Matthew records for us, at the tomb, there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene left the tomb only because the Sabbath was approaching, and also to prepare the spice and the ointment for Jesus' burial. And she, together with the other women, returned promptly to the tomb the day after the Sabbath. And such was Mary Magdalene's devotion to the Lord. Now, what produced this level of devotion within her heart for Jesus? Because her life had been so remarkably changed by Jesus. Because she had been forgiven much, she loved Jesus much. Now, next is Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who was Herod's steward. Now, Herod here refers to Herod Antipas, who reigned in Galilee, the son of Herod the Great. And Herod Antipas is infamous for beheading John the Baptist. And he had also plotted to have Jesus killed as well. Now, Joanna's husband, Chuza, was the man in charge of all the king's vast estate. And so, Joanna came from a wealthy family. She lived in luxury and ease in the palace. And as a member of Herod's court, Joanna also took great risks in following Jesus. She embodies true discipleship because Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Here is a woman whose life was transformed by Jesus, and she too became a faithful follower of Jesus. Now, Joanna is again mentioned later on in Luke chapter 24. As we read earlier, there together with Mary Magdalene and other women who went to the tomb of Jesus on the first Easter morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. Although little is written about Joanna in the Bible, we can glean from just these few lines that the Lord was precious to her. She was a devoted and generous follower of Jesus. And she proves that the kingdom of God is accessible to all who are willing to give their lives to Jesus. Now, the third woman mentioned by name is Susanna. Other than this mention of her, her name here, we know nothing about Susanna. Like Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Susanna followed Jesus because she loved him much. Now, I also want you to notice that Luke mentions in the second part of verse 3 that there were many others. Now, many others in the original is expressed in the feminine gender. And so some Bible translations render it specifically as many other women. And so there were many other women besides Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna who followed Jesus. Who were these women? We do not know. Their names are not given to us. From the other gospel accounts, we know of other named women who followed Jesus to the cross and also to the tomb. Apart from these three, their name here, there were Mary, the mother of Cleopas, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome, the mother of James and John. Now, what can we learn from these women who walked with the Lord and followed him? When the Lord delivered Mary Magdalene, her life would not be the same again, the same of Joanna and Susanna and the other women. These women had been delivered by Jesus of evil spirits and infirmities. They had been in bondage to Satan, to sin and its dire consequences. And Jesus had set them free. He had mercifully delivered them from the bonds that afflicted them. They were women who had experienced the transforming power, the amazing grace of God in Christ, their great mercy, and the unconditional forgiveness of God. And their following Jesus was born out of love for their Lord. Because they have been forgiven much, they love Jesus much. Are these women not a powerful example to all of us today who have been saved by the same gracious Lord who had touched their lives? After all, Jesus has done as much for us as he did for these women to save us from our sins and hopelessness. Like these women, we are recipients of God's grace and mercy and love. Oh, to God that we have the same devotion to Jesus today as these women. And these women teach us that God's love, as shown to us on the cross, is always the supreme motivation to follow him. The Apostle John tells us, we love him because he first loved us. Those who have been delivered much, love much. Have you been healed or delivered by Jesus? If you are saved, if you are a Christian, you sure have, because he has delivered you from sin and Satan's dominion and death and hell. And if so, let us follow him with a heart overflowing with love. Now, if you put all the four gospel accounts together, we know that these women followed Jesus wherever he went, proclaiming the kingdom of God from one city and village to another, all the way from Galilee down to Jerusalem, where Jesus was eventually arrested and crucified. And we can well imagine the difficulties these women had. They had to face particularly the scorn and also the contempt which was poured on all the followers of Jesus by the scribes, the Pharisees, by the religious leaders, and by certain Jews. They faced opposition, criticisms, and even persecution. Yet none of these things moved them. And they walked alongside Jesus, even though he was unpopular, even though he was risky, even though it was countercultural. Now, these women were not fair-weather Christians. They were not part-time disciples. They were not Sunday morning Christians. They were wholeheartedly committed to following Jesus. They were women who stood by our Lord at the cross, staying with him even in danger, and faithful even after his death. Grateful for mercies received at our Lord's hand, they were willing to endure much for his sake, and their devotion and their boldness in following the Lord serves as an encouragement to all of us to step out in faith, to trust the Lord, even when the path seems uncertain or difficult. Following Jesus is not always easy and smooth sailing. Now we sing the hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. But the reality is that some people do turn back. And God is looking for people who will follow and live for him. And this is his desire for you and me. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians, he said, and he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so the lesson that we learn from these women, first of all, these women exemplify the way of true discipleship. Let us also learn to follow the Lord with a heart of devotion and love because of what he has done for us. Now, secondly, the women showed their devotion by ministering to the Lord. Now, what makes this account interesting and remarkable is that these women whose lives had been transformed by Jesus played an important role in supporting Jesus and the disciples in the preaching of the gospel. Now, they did not merely follow Jesus. They were actively involved and supported Jesus' preaching ministry. Look at the second part of verse 3. The Bible tells us that these certain women ministered unto him. They supported Jesus of their substance. Now, the word translated as substance can mean possessions or means or resources. These women supported Jesus and his ministry out of their own private or personal resources or means. And the word ministered is given in the imperfect tense, stressing continual and habitual activity. And so this was not a one-time thing. They supplied the material needs of Jesus and his disciples again and again. Now, except for Joanna, we don't know if these women were rich or poor. It really does not matter. The focus is on the fact that they gave of their means. These women used their resources to ensure that Jesus and his disciples were provided for, were cared for. They loved Jesus. They were grateful to him, and they showed their devotion by giving to Jesus and to his work. Their hearts were sensitive to God's work, and they expressed this sensitivity through their generosity. They were willing to invest in the kingdom of God. They were willing to put their money where their faith was. Now, we probably have never considered just how much it might have cost to travel throughout Galilee and also Judea, you know, as a party of 13 over a three-year period. Jesus and his disciples no doubt enjoyed generous hospitality in many of the towns and villages they visited. But this cannot have provided all of the food, all of the lodging, and the taxes that they would have needed at various points along the way. So this women's gift was vital to Jesus' ministry, making it possible for Jesus and his disciples to go throughout Galilee preaching and teaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. In addition to their financial support, I believe these women also play an essential role in the daily practicalities of traveling and ministering. They likely cook, clean, and provided other necessities for Jesus and his disciples. Now, humanly speaking, Jesus preached because they provided. Jesus could rely upon them. Now, sure, they may not be up in the front, in the limelight, getting the praise and attention, but if it were not for the real ministry behind the scene, no ministry would get off the ground. These women were not content to simply receive from Jesus. They wanted to give back. They wanted to be a part of what he was doing. Their faith was not just a matter of belief, but a matter of action. They were not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Can the same be said of all of us? Their commitment to the Lord's work challenges us to consider how we should and how we can use our resources to advance the kingdom of God. Now, let us also learn from these few verses that everyone is important in the Lord's work. You know, you have Mary Magdalene, a former demoniac, possessed with seven demons, a woman with a very dark past. But her dark past did not make her less than qualified than others, but rather more qualified to serve, because she served the Lord out of love. Then you have Joanna, a lady of the court and wealth. Yet Joanna was willing to give up the comforts of palace life and endure the hardships of following Jesus on his travels because of what the Lord had done for her. You know, a very strange mix of people. Mary Magdalene, from one end of society, traveling and serving with Joanna from the opposite end of society. It doesn't matter to the Lord what your station in life is, whether the Lord has blessed you with great means or very little, with many gifts or few, you ought to give back to reflect the gratitude in your heart that the Lord has saved you. Now, there's little doubt that Jesus welcomed these women and valued their contributions. In the time of Jesus, as in some cultures today, women were deemed to be inferior to men. In those days, the rabbis, the religious teachers, refused to teach women and generally assigned them an inferior place. In fact, women were restricted to the outer court in the temple. But Jesus heals women, ministers to their needs, allows them to travel as a regular part of his team. You know, he taught them lovingly. He treated them respectfully. He regarded them as good examples of faith and included them in his gospel work. It affirms that women are valued and entrusted with important responsibilities in advancing the kingdom of God. You know, if you read the New Testament, you cannot read Romans chapter 16 without being impressed by the number of women that the Apostle Paul mentioned. In that epistle in chapter 16, Paul praises Phoebe as a helper of many. He commends Priscilla and her husband Aquila, who risked their lives for Paul's sake. There is a Mary that is greeted with the command that she had devoted much labor in the Lord's work. There is Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis. And Paul mentioned these women by name because they labored in the Lord. You know, God has a place for all women of all ages, all gifts in His church. Think of the many women who have served and are serving faithfully in Life Church. It has been my observation and experience in Life Church that women have been some of the most faithful, dedicated, and also hardworking servants of Christ. You know, every week that we come, you see all the beautiful flowers that have been prepared and arranged by many ladies of the church, many out of their own means. Recently, I heard of a baby class that certain ladies of the church have organized for young mothers. Girls' Brigade, many of our sisters serve faithfully week after week outside of church. Maybe we have not observed enough. Ladies who are involved in evangelism and, of course, many serve in the mailbox club. Holy Communion, you know, every 2 weeks of the month, we have many ladies who have to prepare the bread and also the juice. Then, of course, you know, Coffee Corner, every Sunday, you see many of the ladies in the kitchen. Children Ministry, our children ministry are staffed mainly by sisters, and many of our sisters are also involved in visitations. You know, our musicians are mostly sisters, ladies. And I know these two have served faithfully for years. Think of the invaluable work done by women missionaries. And Life Church has always been blessed by, you know, women who serve the Lord in the mission field. Think of the countless Sunday school teachers. Many of them are women. And many of them are named and serving quietly. I think somehow women are better than men in certain things, and we should thank them for their labors of love and also encourage them. And so may I encourage all of you ladies, young and old, that are here this morning, that God has always used women and still does, and He uses women mightily in the advance of His kingdom. These women in Luke chapter 8 who genuinely loved the Lord and wanted to serve Him, they were never seeking fame or power. And it speaks volumes about their character. In a world that often celebrates pride and self-promotion, these women chose the path of humility, ministering to Jesus through their quiet, steadfast service. Now, being women, they would not be allowed to preach, but they gave the gifts they had. Their help was so practical and so very essential. It is not always the person in the forefront who is doing the greatest work. Many of the Lord's greatest servants are in the background, unseen, but essential to his cause. Being unseen, being unnamed, is not the same as being unimportant. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and these certain women were great, not because they wanted to become like men, but because they loved the Lord and they served him with their time, their talents, and their resources. And there is a place for everyone who is willing to be used by the Lord. There's something for the 12 disciples to do, and there's something for these godly women to do, and we cannot do without either of them. And in that last great day, when the rewards are distributed, there will be as much for Joanna as for John the disciple, and as much for Mary Magdalene as for Simon Peter. And so let us learn this very important lesson. The church is one body, but many members, and it brings great glory to the Lord when lifers, young and old, men and women with different personalities, experiences, backgrounds, and gifts, when we all come together as one body to serve him, because we have this in common. We are serving the one who loves us much and has forgiven us much. Now, the third lesson that we can learn from these women showed their devotion by honoring the Lord. These women who accompanied Jesus, ministered to him of their substance. Did Jesus really need their support? Obviously not. Did he really need their substance or provisions? No. Of course, Jesus needed not their help. God says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. The mighty Savior, who could multiply a few loaves and fishes into food for thousands, could have called for food from the ground for his own sustenance, if he had thought it fit. But the Lord did not do so. Jesus allowed these women to provide for him. Now, isn't it interesting that the Lord was content to be supported in that way? I believe for two reasons. First of all, that Jesus would show that he is a man like ourselves in all things, except he was without sin, and that he lived a life of faith in his Father's providence and provisions. And this was part of our Lord's condescension in coming to the earth, who willingly make himself dependent upon others, including women. Now, Jesus could have just miraculously created all the money or food he needed, but he was humble enough to receive help from others while he carried on his ministry. He valued their contributions and recognized their importance in his ministry. Now, the other reason is that by allowing these women to minister to him, Jesus might prove their love and test their affection for himself. If there's one thing Jesus enjoys more than providing for people, it is when his followers provide for him because they love him. He doesn't need such provisions, but he loves to receive it. It gives him great joy to be loved. It gives men and women the opportunity and privilege of having a part in the gospel work. Jesus accepted the contributions and service of all these women that they might demonstrate their love and devotion to him. Friends, you know, as we serve the Lord, he's given us an opportunity to demonstrate our love for him. True love will count it a joy and privilege to give anything to the object love. False love will often talk and profess much, but do and give little or nothing at all. And so may we remember this great truth and check our hearts if we truly love the Lord. Our lives are continually showing whose we are and whom we serve, whether we love Jesus or whether we love the world. And each of us has unique gifts and resources that can be used to support and further the gospel work through the church. And let me therefore encourage you that you must serve the Lord whenever the Lord has given you that opportunity. Let us learn to give, and to give generously and cheerfully, be it our time, talents or our treasure to the work of Christ. Happy are those who know something of ministering to Christ. And it is a great privilege that we can minister to Christ of our substance. It is a privilege to minister to the King of Kings. And so what a marvelous and wonderful group of women these were. In a society that frequently overlooked the contributions of women, these women chose to honor Christ by actively supporting and participating in His work. Let us strive to emulate the example of these women, to honor Jesus with our lives every day. For Mary Magdalene, for Joanna, for Susanna, and certain women, God saw fit to record their love for Him in Scripture. These women will have a special reward for providing for their Lord in this way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God did not forget the labor of love of these women. The Bible records for us that women were the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. On the first Sunday after the Lord's crucifixion, early in the morning, a group of women came to the tomb, bringing the spices and ointment which they had prepared to complete the task of preparing the body of Jesus for burial. Women, they were last at the cross, but they were first at the tomb. And Luke chapter 24, verse 1 records for us that these women came to the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And the women present at the tomb included Mary Magdalene and also Joanna and other women. And so we read in verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. These women had witnessed the crucifixion and death of Jesus, and they knew where His body was laid. And so they came prepared with spices on Sunday morning to anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to honor Jesus, to give Him a more proper burial, since He was hastily buried because of the Sabbath. And these women were rewarded with the joy of witnessing the resurrection. They found that the stone to the tomb had been rolled away. The tomb was empty. And angels proclaimed the astonishing news. He is not here, but is risen. These women became the first witnesses to the empty tomb. These women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and others, are forever etched in history as the honored witnesses of Jesus' resurrection and also victory over the grave. And the gospel writer Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene was the first person the resurrected Lord appeared and spoke to. We read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. After Jesus rose from the dead, He revealed Himself first to Mary Magdalene, a woman. It was not to the 11 disciples, not even to Peter and John, who had earlier rushed to the sepulchre when they heard of Jesus' missing body, that Jesus first showed Himself. It was to a woman, Mary Magdalene, and she, the one out of whom He had cast seven demons, one who had been the complete slave of Satan. Now, this was not merely a coincidence or a random occurrence. It was a clear and deliberate act of grace and favor from the Lord Himself. And Jesus entrusted Mary Magdalene to be the first person to tell the other disciples that he was alive. Mary Magdalene's love for the Lord reaped a rich reward. Now, in Jewish society, women had few rights, and they were not allowed to serve as witnesses in court. Many men of the time believed that women were not even to be seen, much less heard. Do you remember when Jesus went to Samaria and was having a conversation with the woman at the well? When the disciples saw Jesus talking to the woman, the scripture says they marveled that Jesus was speaking with a woman. And yet Jesus entrusted to this woman at the tomb the most important message of all time, to declare his resurrection from the dead and victory over sin. And so let us marvel at the profound honor that Jesus bestowed upon women by choosing them as the first witnesses of his resurrection. It is divine testimony to the fact that God knows those who follow him, and he honors both their devotion and also their labors of love. The women in Luke chapter 8 verses 1 to 3 exemplify love, faith, dedication. Their commitment to walk with and to support Jesus and his disciples is a testament to their deep love and also their reverence for him. May their example inspire us, men, women, young and old, to follow Christ wholeheartedly, to serve him humbly, and to honor him with our best wherever he has planted us. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for all the mothers, the women, even in our church. We thank thee especially for their faith and their love for the Lord. And we want to commit each one of them to you. We ask, Lord, that you will bless them bountifully. That as they walk with you, Lord, that they will always love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as they serve you, Father, we ask that you will bless them plentifully, bountifully, and grant them the desires of their heart. We thank thee especially for this privilege that we can serve you. Help us, Lord, that we may learn to serve thee humbly and to honor thee with our best wherever you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.